Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Heretic Hammer Podcast. I am your host, Marshall, and this is my co-host, Dylan.
Hello, hello.
And today, we are talking, it's a part two, if you will, almost. It's kind of following up on our talk from two episodes back on the Dark Mechanicum. Today, we're going to talk more on their best-known creations in the Demon Engines. Okay, no response.
Sorry, I was writing stuff down. I was too invested in my note-taking.
Well, so, these unholy combinations of demon and machine are not only just obviously a child of the Dark Mechanicum, but also those of even a number of different members of Chaos Space Marines. I even wrote actually in my own notes, Iron Warriors, but it's not even necessarily just the Iron Warriors. There's masters of, there's sorcerers, masters of possession, all who deal with demons and help bringing them into what become the horrid machinations that they inevitably make.
Strive to be.
Yeah. But so on the kind of a base level of what is a demon engine. So creating a demon engine requires that the entity be summoned by one who generally has knowledge of such things. So, some type of chaos warp smith, tech priest or sorcerer. The demon then is summoned into the hull of the machine so that the corruption spreads through its circuits, because in 40K, despite what many members of the Iron Hands and Mechanicus say, machines are in fact corruptible and thus...
Such an interesting concept.
Yeah, and thus demons can in fact then hack and take over this machinery, gaining complete control of all functions. Demons can also kind of be said to be bound to like certain static weapon systems like artillery guns. However, they can potentially break free of their shackles and kill indiscriminately until it is placated. However, if such a gun or engine is destroyed, the bound demon is unleashed, creating a psychic shockwaves in its rage before disappearing into the sky, returning the demon to the warp.
And that happens every time? Like, any time a demon engine is destroyed?
Honestly, that's partly what happens, honestly, even whenever any time a demon is killed.
Okay.
Because demons do, they're entities of the warp. They live and they're not part of real space in any capacity. So when they can kind of get this anchor to create like a physical form and enter into the material realm, they are only doing so temporarily. And that's kind of what makes the Emperor's Blade and thus, which is the blade currently was wielded by the Emperor and thus now Gilliman, so important, is that that is one of the few weapons that the Imperium has, and I think most factions have, that can straight up actually just kill demons. Like, if you die to the Emperor's Blade, you're dead. It's over.
Period. That's it.
Yeah. Because otherwise, normally for everything else, a demon will get banished back to the realm of chaos. That god can just spit him back out when they're ready,
Yeah, just a free res. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's partly what makes chaos so formidable in that they have kind of that infinite respawn pool to an extent. But again, kind of a whole function, because... there's a lot of wonkiness when it comes to how souls in the warp behave. So there is maybe some concept that, a soul that maybe a demon or something is attached to, or the powers that come from that, potentially could have maybe some form of like usage and time limit, but nothing that anybody's ever truly known. But what we have truly known is at least that the Emperor's Blade will just kill it. Sever it from the warp as a whole and chaos and just erase it from existence in both immaterial and materium.
So I'll ask the dumb question, because I'm sure somebody out there will also ask this question. What's stopping them from making more than one of the Emperor's Blade?
I don't know. I don't know what Olga went into creating the Emperor's Blade.
Okay.
That's kind of one of those long-term, emperor mysteries. And I imagine, honestly, a lot of that probably has to do with a number of the kind of secret plans that the Emperor, created and thought up while sitting around for almost 35,000 years. So it's kind of, So, yeah, I don't have an answer in terms of why we can't. In terms of why we can't now, it's definitely because nobody has the blueprints. Whether or not there are blueprints is the thing we don't know.
Sure. Okay.
Like, the now answer is definitely there just aren't the blueprints. And very clearly it would appear that the Emperor kind of decided, I'm not sharing this out there. I'm making one. This will be mine.
Yep. No give, only fetch on that one, for sure.
I imagine it's probably because there's a lot of shit that goes into that he probably doesn't want to do again.
Yeah.
I kind of wouldn't be surprised if that case, it may actually have a somewhat solid reason. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it involved a massive undertaking, or honestly, if it even ended up kind of part of that, the kind of wheels and deals that he was making with, the chaos gods, kind of leading into the Primarchs being birthed and thus, thrown away by and given quote unquote safety by Erda.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's kind of that's a whole different topic. But demon engines. So we've semi spoke on this place, but one of the place in the semi spoke of this place in the Chaos Demons episode. But the demon engines generally come from the Forge of Souls. At least it is definitely the most populous place to create your demon engines.
Mm-hmm.
And is, as we mentioned in that previous episode, the current home of Vashtor, the Ark of Fame. And this unaligned realm is kind of the center of most of what we're going to talk about. Like I said, it's unaligned to all four Chaos Gods. And it is located in the formless wastes of the Realm of Chaos. And specifically for us today, because we talked all about at least, what Vashtor is, wants, does in that Chaos Demons episode. In that Forge of Souls is going to be the first demon engine we're going to talk about. It's going to kind of hit our first in the category of kind of generic or unaligned demon engines. They can be aligned, but they are engines used by any of the four Chaos Gods. And that is that of the Soul Grinder. And so these are demons that, kind of for the chance to be fused with a mechanical construct to become a soul grinder, higher ranked demons will duel with each other in almost a never-ending battle in the ash plains outside the forge. The masters of the forge providently take newborn soul grinders, so those who are victorious in that instead duels, and generally then those soul grinders will take three oaths of the Iron Pact before releasing them. And that is that all the souls harvested by the great blades of the Soul Grinder will be used for fueling the forge. all the wrecked remains of all war machines destroyed by the adamantium claws of the Soul Grinder will be offered to the Forge. And should any of the Chaos Gods attack the Forge of Souls and try to rule it, the Soul Grinder must discard all of their previous loyalties and fight in its defense. So, like, they are...
So, basically...
Are, yeah, sorry.
You are... It is for the Forge by the Forge. Like, you the oaths... All three oaths could be condensed down to, you are doing this for the Forge.
Yes. One way or the other, you know, you may be, as kind of pictured here, a Khorne Soul Grinder, a Nurgle Soul Grinder, a Slaanesh Soul Grinder. But no matter what, you still base down to being the protector of the Forge, protector and supplier. So, you know, maybe you will, you know, maybe you'll cut down and take the enemies and you know, defeat them for the Chaos God that you stem from, but much of what they are and what you will reap will go into the Forge. Now, obviously, there's still some benefit to that because all four Chaos Gods benefit from the Forge of Souls in the Demon Engines, but that is still kind of the baseline of it. And, you know, just as a solid reminder, I still really hate their mini.
That's right. I remember this.
Yeah. This thing needs an update. Like, whoa.
This old chestnut.
Now, people do make, because obviously you can kind of see here, right? People make kit bashes and other things to make unique Chaos God Soul Grinders, and they could look really cool. I mean, like the Slaanesh one in the middle looks really cool. I love the Nurgle one. I mean, the Khorne one just looks badass. But then you got this fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, like, I think it could use some shifting or is a great candidate for 3D printing.
Yeah, that face is a page one rewrite for sure.
Oh, yeah. Another kind of... another mini that has kind of has a little bit of controversy around it for similar reasons is that of the Defiler. So the Defiler is a demon engine that is one of the more common and honestly kind of older in this concept of like demon engine, especially utilized by often those of the Chaos Space Marines. And the Defiler was originally created by the Dark Mechanican on the Forge world of Xana 2.
Okay.
At the command of Abaddon Despoiler in preparation for the first Black Crusade. So at their inception, right, they are meant to be used in conjunction with Chaos Space Marines. It's obviously best known for its kind of spidery legs, but especially also its main battle cannon at its face and the kind of crab pincers near the front. You know, this is a especially classic, you know, kind of baseline kind of tank. I think for like early Dawn of Wars, it was actually like the Dreadnought equivalent for Chaos Space Marines. But yeah, like those of Dawn of War, like Veteran C, will have used a Defiler plenty. And there isn't any art of it, but one of the fun things about a Defiler is that there are Defilers that are called Slaughter Fiends, and these are Defilers that have essentially been saddled and like broken and then ridden by World Eaters Berserkers.
Jesus.
Which was first done by Skull Champion Akragar.
I have an important question.
Yes.
Because if we're getting to the point where the Defilers are turning into Slaughter Fiends, I feel like I got to ask this now. I'm looking at this art of the Defilers. This is assumedly pre-Slaughter Fiend Digivolution.
Correct.
The head on the top there.
Yeah.
Is that there no matter what? Or is that somebody like riding the machine? Or, like, in the cockpit of the machine?
As far as I know, That is essentially, I mean, that is there. That's on the model. That's on every defiler that's ever been around. But as far as I know, that is essentially like the quote unquote head of the demon.
Okay.
There are, I mean, we'll talk about it soon enough, but like there are demon engines that like have a quote unquote pilot in them. That maybe was like a Chaos Space Marine, but as far as I was reading and looking up to kind of double check and learn, that is not like a Chaos Space Marine head. That is seemingly just kind of like head for the demon. I don't know why the demon needs it, but it's there.
Gotcha.
You know, while technically I would say their models have kind of aged a bit, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're that, it's not like they're that different from this art, you know, like this design is pretty much what the model looks like, but you know, that's where it still sits in that realm of like some people just have, or just don't, they don't feel that way. So yeah, I mean, the Defiler, though, unlike the Slaughter, or I keep saying Slaughter Fiend instead of the Soul Grinder, instead of the Soul Grinder, the Defiler, I think, seems to, from what I've seen, it kind of hits more of like a middle ground. Like, it's very much like you either love it or hate it kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people love it for its crab like design, you know, the kind of silly battle cannon. Others are not big into it, and they really don't like it and think it's very outdated. I feel like I've gone back and forth. I used to think it was really cool, like when I played it in Dawn of War and stuff. And then, like, when I started getting into models, the models and everything and all that, I kind of was like, yeah, this kind of looks dumb. This looks like it's old. It's maybe this is like a little too big. And now I don't really know where I'm at anymore. I don't know how I feel. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
for,
it's kind of
for
a take
me
it, if
at
you
least.
Will. Yeah.
Yeah. For me at least, I don't hate it. I think it's kind of fun. I think that demon head just kind of sticking out of the top of it definitely gives, like, you know, it makes it look more toy-like, funnily enough. Like, I feel like I would press down on that, and then the plastic missiles that are included with the playset would shoot out of the turrets or something. You know, it really gives that vibe. I'm trying
you know,
to look at...
You're probably not wrong. I think you wouldn't LF. Be wrong. I feel like it's exactly maybe what that type of toy would do.
Yeah, it reminds me, this overall, my first thought was like Bastion from Overwatch. And then my second thought, because I'm just an absurd nerd, is I was thinking of the LF-205 leg parts from the first Armored Core game. And it's basically the ones that are like, they're like crab legs, like kind of similar to what this has here. So like you can have, you know, your torso and your head would be like a normal Armored Core, like you would expect. And then you could have the like four legs that kind of stick out like crab legs like this has. And that makes it cooler just by association to Armored Core. But yeah, like I said, it definitely still has this kind of like action figure look to it.
Yeah, I think I think it definitely it has its place. And I don't really think that there's a lot of it's obviously one of those things like sure, maybe the model could get updated in some capacity or something, but I think design wise I don't think it's something that really should be changed. I think it's, if it's going to exist, it should just kind of exist in its kind of semi doofy way that it is.
Yeah.
But next up are going to be my favorites of the, or some of my favorites of the Demon Engine. in the Forge Fiend and Mauler Fiend, which are essentially two sides of the same coin. You know, the Forge Fiend being the ranged and Mauler Fiend being melee. However, kind of essentially both are known for essentially goading the demon into, like, as they kind of go into the fiend and into the machine of just like seeking just combat and great fury. And then, as far as I know, it's on both. Upon both backs are an assembly of kind of small soul furnaces, which contain the tortured screams and faces of its victims.
Fun. For the whole family. Now, how do you feel about the design on these guys, comparatively?
I love these guys. I mean, like I said, they would be, I guess, my like second, and I'm putting them kind of on the same like thing because it's essentially just melee versus ranged. They are like, I mean, I think they're just so cool. I mean, first, like the fact that they're like this, almost kind of dog-like demon engine.
Mm-hmm.
I think has always just been like cool and funny to me. Forge Fiends do not fire normal ammunition. They obviously, I mean, they're demons, duh.
I didn't take that for granted.
So obviously, even though they have these chain guns, their bullets are tainted with demonic essence. But kind of as they actually kind of, if you think about it, like you kind of utilize the engine portion of their name almost, because they reload and create, you know, new ammunition internally. And they kind of do this just by feasting on nearby metal, you know, so kind of as like the Forge Fiend goes through and destroys everything and, you know, they'll just kind of absorb or chomp up metal nearby, and hey, look, we've resupplied.
There you go.
And then the Forge Fiend itself is essentially armed, usually, then with either three ectoplasma cannons, which are essentially just three, you know, kind of like a plasma gun or rifle from a space marine, but just beefed up even more with just like essentially a molten plasma.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more demon engines there are, but I feel like this is going to be tough to beat just in terms of like its design. Hello.
Yeah. So this is it with the three ectoplasma cannons.
Sick. That rules.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely my favorite. I mean, despite that, I love the kind of dog-like face that they can get. Again, this is though my favorite form of it with the cannons, because just like blasting hellfire at you effectively. But yeah, like literally just molten hellfire. Otherwise, Mauler Fiends are extremely agile and nimble creatures, obviously for their size. They can, you know, climb steep walls. And then what they will kind of be utilized and do is they will lock onto the scent of a victim. And then they will be allowed to hunt the enemy over a great distance. However, rather than, you know, just being a hunter, Mauler Fiends will serve their masters also as demonic battering rams that will just crash into enemy lines. And then obviously once the Mauler Fiend is latched onto an enemy war machine or fortification, it will find even the smallest weak spot to exploit in its armor, and then just utilizing these tendrils and its teeth to just crush and cut it to bits, tearing it open and, you know, finding all the vulnerable individuals or components within. So essentially, like, if you're riding, you know, you're riding in your Lehman Russell Rogaldorn tank, you're kind of going along, you're like, man, I'm sure glad I'm inside this, you know, gigantic case of, you know, steel, adamantite armor and, you know, gigantic cannon. All of a sudden, metal tendrils break open your tank like a walnut.
Yeah.
And it just chomps on you.
Just do the full Nutcracker suite on it.
They're like the demonic Apollos cracking open a walnut.
Uh-huh.
Mauler Fiend opens up the tank. Want a pistache? That's a reference if you really get to it. Anyway, but yeah, so they, funny enough, now the Mauler Fiends are now also the only one to be, one of the two to be usable by the Emperor's children, because, you know, reasons. I guess.
Just cuz.
I'm a little miffed about that, just saying.
Just cuz, you know.
Otherwise, we can get to our next demon engine, and that is the Helldrake. Talked a little bit about them in the Mechanicum episode. These are my favorite demon engine
because
they're dragons, essentially. And what's not cool about dragons?
Right.
And thus, these are a fusion of man, machine, and demon. So these fellow creatures of chaos have enormous wingspans that make them even larger than Storm Raven gunships, which are pretty sizable and will carry many Space Marines in them. And once, this was once a fighter craft flown by Space Marines, you know, of the Heresy and Great Crusade. However, since have been mutated by the powers of the warp, where now their original pilots are still inside, fused to their machines for eternity. And it is their anguish and hate that adds to the feeling of wrongness that a Helldrake gives. After centuries of gradually fusing to their machine and becoming overcome by the demon that inhabits it, the pilot is only a fetal ball that burns deep within the core of the aircraft.
Oh.
There is like a book. I can't remember what one, but there is one where they kind of like crack open a, like a Helldrake, and there's like, they see the like marine inside, and it's like, yeah, it was like, he wasn't like fully in like, I guess, like ball form yet. It was like kind of just like, but he was just kind of like I said, just like attached in it. So it was just like, you barely could recognize that it was a man at some point. Like, kind of funky.
Wow.
Creepy.
Yeah.
However, these are fully capable of traversing space, and Helldrakes will often cling to the underbelly of Chaos Warships, kind of like a swarm of bats. And they'll kind of feed off of the vessel's energy through all the cables and pipes. And then sometimes Helldrakes will actually claim areas within the warships for themselves, daring any to come oppose them. Kind of like, again, like a dragon, where it's just like, I've created my lair. Don't you want to try and claim it?
Don't you want to find my treasure?
Yeah, very, like, it's, they are truly dragon-like, and there is a, there are two-headed Helldrakes, but unfortunately didn't have any actual like artwork to them, but there are ones that are two-headed because, you know, hell yeah. But yeah, they do similarly, you know, they will often fight in swarms together, like I said, kind of like these like realms of bats. However, they are unfortunately for them at least also known for being the subject and receiver of Hey Shit Ass. One of my favorite memes that came from that game. Like all the, you know, all the like The Codex Astartes does not approve this action memes. All the Leandros memes. I feel like they all paled in comparison to hey shit ass.
It's pretty strong. That's for sure.
Oh, I mean, that dreadnought was like such a highlight of that game. Where is Magnus?
Time for a boss.
Where the fuck is Magnus?
Otherwise, next up is the Venom Crawlers, the source of my nightmares, otherwise known as.
Ooh.
Yeah. These are towering spider-like demon engines, host to parasitic entities that infest the tides of the warp. They prey on stray souls and lesser demons alike. These creatures often haunt the flesh factories of demonic forges. During the ritual of their summoning, Venom Crawlers are often then imbued with the most horrifying parasitic entities of the warp, as kind of I alluded to already. And so as it goes out, it will absorb demons and is more and more absorbed into its metallic form. The venom crawler's form will kind of distend and they create this reservoir. So the big kind of bulbousy kind of booty on these things. And these then will store all this warp energy to then create fresh demon engines. So these are almost kind of like harvesters to like bring all this warp energy back to the forges with them.
You know what bothers me about these?
What is that?
The abdomen. Yeah, apart from everything. The abdomen,
yeah.
The way it's shaped, and it looks just like a giant like helmet, mm-hmm. like a gladiatorial helmet instead of like an abdomen, really upsets me for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of really is what it just is, though. It's kind of just like a helmet. For it like, I mean, all the energy and everything is getting stored into the kind of the fleshy warpy bits inside of it. It's otherwise just kind of a protective shell. So yeah, I mean, I definitely get that.
I mean, in all fairness, if my ass looked like that, I'd want to protect it too, but you know, it's still just looks a little awkward.
Yeah. Venom crawlers are often used to hunt down rogue entities that have escaped the clutches of their summoner. So essentially like demons or demon engines maybe that have attained some form of free will. These will kind of hunt them down. And then are also often also used by demonkin, which are Chaos Marines that have kind of fully embraced the ruinous powers and have kind of allowed, you know, some partial possession even maybe to themselves. And they love to kind of bring these out with them. Essentially, again, harvest more and more of that warp energy. And they can, because again, demonkin similarly do love to use demon engines. Kind of just continues the cycle and gets them more and more essentially weaponry. And in this case, living weaponry to use to their own desires. Otherwise, next up, we've got the Lord Discordant and Hellstalker. So the Hellstalker is the demon engine. The Lord Discordant is the one riding it.
Okay.
They're all really cool combo of marine and machine, because unlike some of the other ones where it's like, you know, like in the Helldrake where the marine is attached and stuck inside, you know, the demon engine, you mm-hmm. know, and it's obviously less goofy than, say, like the Slaughter Fiend. The Hellstalker.
Yeah, this is like, I can clearly understand what's going on with this one. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, like, this is like, you know, the Hellstalker itself is a demon engine that's built to be ridden. Unlike, you know, the concept of the Slaughter Fiend, which is just like some corn berserker looking at a defiler and being like, I can ride you. However, similarly to like the Forge Fiend, maybe the little bit of the Venom Crawler, you know, they will feed off of other machines, and they will often, you know, they'll kind of the Discordant and, you know, will kind of take the Hellstalker when it's into battle, kind of when they take out any type of other machine, this is both Imperial and Xenos alike, it will feed it and consume it, and thus will help it continue to run.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, then the Lord Discordant kind of is much like a warp smith in being an expert on machinery and demon engines. However, both the Discordant and Hellstalker together in the battlefield kind of are great at disabling not just enemy, you know, like the, you know, like machines, like tanks or whatever, but also like messing with full computer systems. So like they'll like with that like syringe thing in its mouth, like essentially like inject into, say, like a computer or like an artillery targeting computer and system, and just inject scrap code and just glitch the systems of their enemies, making them more and more vulnerable and going into the whole system to essentially either wipe it out, maybe even make it shoot on its own allies, kind of just anything that they have the desire to futz with. So it's like Demon Hacker Man a little bit.
Yeah.
They also have a really cool mini, and is generally usable, I think, only really, though, by like normal Chaos Space Marines, which it's kind of a shame because I'd love to use the Hellstalker and the Emperor's Children, but, you know, why would you be able to use most of the CSM range in any of the four god armies? That just sounds dumb. Sarcasm aside, so the engines specifically for Khorne are... Khorne had a lot of demon engines in the game.
Okay.
But a lot of them are really old and kind of gone away now. Otherwise, so a number of the ones that you'll see, for example, are kind of like the Skull Cannon and Blood Throne, of which you see here. And they're generally ridden and fired by bloodletters and are essentially chariots. And there's a couple, like I said, most are like really old and were used in like the epic scale Warhammer. So this is like 80s still.
Yeah.
Like late 80s, early 90s. But like, somewhat more recently, but has been taken out of the game, is the Khitan. I'm not trying to. It's K-Y-T-A-N. I don't really know if it pronounced that correctly at all. And the Brass Scorpion, which are older engines that had play for a bit. But like I said, they were Forge World. So they've kind of been sent to Legends because most of Forge World is kind of being pushed away. Maybe they could see a revival. I kind of doubt it with the Khitan, but maybe the Brass Scorpion could, maybe. Otherwise, yeah, there aren't a crazy amount left. Like I said, kind of those chariot ones. But more importantly, the torso of the Khitan is kind of still out and about. And the glory that is the Lord of Skulls. Can you guess which one is the Lord of Skulls?
Okay, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Let's see. Okay. We know that's a Helldrake over there. Those are all demons along the bottom. They're fighting with Necrons. And that one there has... It's... Yeah, I know. I obviously know which one is the Lord of Skulls. It's very clear. Big Daddy up there in the top right. Yeah.
So they are, you know, they are the, these, the Lord of Skulls have, you know, it's essentially just like a tank, half like mech man. And it is powered by, or its engines, you know, of the, or sorry, its engines are powered by the boiling blood of murderers. And it is piloted, though most feel it and consider it a form of incarceration. It is piloted exclusively by bloodthirsters, who There are still a few of them, though, mostly those kind of from the 8th rank, so kind of the higher tier of bloodthirsters, who kind of consider the Lord of Skulls like a suit of armor, which they, so they can just kind of unleash war on the denizens of real space. I mean, like, you really only have to look at the mini to, like, really get a gauge. Like, this is just, it's the Lord of Skulls.
Wow.
If you like Korn, you will like the Lord of Skulls.
That is the Paris Catacombs as a mini. Yep.
Yeah, really. It really is. And I mean, yeah, like, this guy is this guy, you know? There's no...
He's just that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, there's just not any type of, like, here or there about it. It's just, this is who he is.
I mean, he's cool.
Yes.
You're right.
I mean, yeah,
you're
right that there's not much more to say about him,
but yeah, he's cool.
He doesn't need, he definitely doesn't need changing, even though he is, I don't remember how old he is, actually, but, you know, he just needs to be what he is. Otherwise, getting to Nurgle, there are kind of a number of engines for Nurgle, but not to make this last too long, trying to get through the whole episode, I'm just going to mainly kind of talk about two, kind of three. So the first we'll kind of talk about is going to be the Blight Drone. So possibly the most mobile thing for Nurgle in all of 40K. They are just these drones, but they're kind of these bizarre conglomeration of insect larvae, machine, and demon engine. They're armed with rapid-fire auto cannons, kind of have this, like, maw-like apparatus to spew noxious poisons and acids, you know, classic Nurgle stuff. And this will thus eat through both metal and flesh alike within seconds. They also then love to operate in swarms, so kind of these generally are decently tall, maybe about the size or a little bit bigger than that of like a space marine, but they have slightly bigger versions than that of the fetid bloat drones, and these ones are a bit larger and obviously more aggressive demons, and however they have similar aspects, just kind of bigger guns, bigger maws, bigger maybe even melee. In fact, some are so like self-serving and just like effectively like angy that they can't even be trusted with ranged weaponry. So they get these like rakes that like almost look like just like little lawnmowers.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just like move along the battlefield along with the rest of the, well, especially the Death Guard. Especially something that is very Death Guard is that of the Plague Burst Crawler. And I think you'll like this aspect of them. The Plague Burst Crawlers were created by Mortarion as an act of spite.
Okay, I'm already digging it. Love me some spite.
Yeah, so the Death Lords sought to create a mobile artillery piece that would outclass any comparative Imperial weapon. And, you know, thus demonstrate the Death Guard's superiority over their former kin. So these kind of lumbering siege tanks have these large ram blades and thick armor plating. Have utilized the demonic energies to give them just more and more resilience. And then they have these top-mounted cannons to just launch artillery over the back battlefield. Obviously, these are slow as shit, but everything Death Guard is slow. So, you know, it is what it is. But it will blast things from a range. And then, obviously, it has these front guns to deal with whenever anything comes close, because I mean, kind of common for anything that is artillery one way or the other, but like obviously there's a shortened range, right? There's a point where you're too close for the artillery gun to do anything.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, that's where the snowplow from the hit film Snow Day comes into, you know.
I mean, they'll definitely run you over with it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, so will the three guns on the front, the two on the sides, and like the little mini chain gun in the front there.
Mm-hmm.
So it has plenty of guns to make do, for sure. It's not slouching.
For sure.
And then, kind of unfortunately, there's not a lot of Zeench demon engines. Kind of saving the least two for last. So a lot of the Thousand Suns, for example, do have, I believe, the Defiler, Forge Fiend, and Mauler Fiend, especially like the Forge Fiends and Mauler Fiends. There was like a strat, I think it was a 9th edition, where actually like you could like essentially end up teleporting the Mauler Fiend around.
Oh, okay.
On the board. So it was like this kind of scary thing of just like, oh, that Mauler Fiend's gonna get in my face like right away. However, there's a couple of really old ones that aren't, or at least one of which that is obviously not. There's a couple of things. One that isn't in tabletop, and one that's technically a demon engine, but not like the ones we've talked about. Like, not ones that you'll find on the tabletop ever.
Okay.
So the first one being the Fire Lord. This is from that epic game, so you see the age in the picture.
Oh, this.
Yeah, like, just based on the image.
I love it immediately.
The fact that it's clearly, wow, like a magazine scan. Right?
Yeah,
like,
you know.
You can tell.
It had, there were Kenner Star Wars figures on the same page, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know,
oh,
so
that's
this,
so good.
This was, and I say it was, because you definitely ain't playing this anymore. It's never been, it hasn't been talked, I think, since then.
I can dream.
Was a super heavy assault aircraft. Had a jewel encrusted hull studded with swiveling las cannons.
Sick.
And pinions of its magic wings bear a pair of deadly flame cannons.
Oh, I got pinions about this too, believe me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this was pretty much only made for that epic game and hasn't ever been made since, and really hasn't been in the lore since either. So obviously kind of a good and bad aspect to that. Also, aircraft in the tabletop isn't very great anyway, so. However, the ones that you actually has had some recent showcasing is that of a Silver Tower. So kind of showcased in the center image here. A Silver Tower is a collection of stunningly beautiful, intricately carved towers resting upon a circular disc. And it floats above any battlefield, supported pretty much by nothing but sorcery. Just is kind of out there and floating. The silver towers that the Thousand Suns use specifically are actually remnants of the long dead Prospero. So supposedly these were the spires and towers of its pyramid citadel. So kind of like it's their big kind of libraries and sorcerous places of study. Mm-hmm. However, they are now essentially act as multi-dimensional battle fortresses. And like, as kind of is noted by demon engines, are run by demonic powers and demons inside. And this was, like I said, most recently seen in Space Marine 2. This, you can kind of see it whenever you're on, I forgot the planet's name. I think it was Demerium.
Might have been Demerium.
Whenever you are out, you can kind of end up seeing this spire in various portions of any of the missions, whether they be in the, whether they be the ones that are in, the PvE mode or in single player, you can see this kind of in the distance or somewhere along the kind of skybox. As these are,
they were definitely hard to miss. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are huge. I think actually when you get into the cutscene before you go into like, you know, the sorcerer's demiplane, I think you pretty much are really close to the base of theirs. like the base of this. I think so, if I'm remembering that cutscene correctly. You know, where everyone kind of gets like frozen, time frozen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, these are technically demon engines, but obviously they're not one. These aren't going to be used at the tabletop because it would be the size of the table to be scaled correctly. Yeah. So, otherwise, unfortunately, Slesh really has no demon engines anymore, other than, again, like utilizing the Mauler Fiends that I mentioned earlier in The Emperor's Children. And you can technically use, I think, the Soul Grinder in your Chaos Demons army. I don't know or recall, because obviously, like, I don't have the codex or lists in front of me, so I don't have a whole lot of reference with it. But yeah, they just kind of don't really have anything. You know, going back to that classic epic scale, though, they do have the Subjugator.
Yeah, look at that.
Which was their giant titan-sized walker.
Look at the gams on her.
Oh, yeah. They were, even for their giant titan size, incredibly swift, able to move quickly, and still use its weapons while moving. And it was armed with both sonic weapons, much like the Emperor's Children and their Noise Marines, which we'll talk about soon, and psychically powered tormentor cannons that would unleash the energy within the walker to kill victims with unbearable agony, leaving their bodies charred by twisted energies.
I adore, first of all, the lobster claws, A+. but also the overall look of this, it has this very like quasi organic look to it. So many, like, there's not really a lot of sharp corners on this. Like, so many parts of its frame are like rounded out, and it gives it this really unique, almost like a kind of like a Terry Gilliam Wizards type situation to it. This is genuinely super cool looking to me. It's got that very psychedelic, like, late 70s look. That's I'm all about it. It also reminds me of the Typhlosion variant from Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Well, and if you remember those supposed leaks that came out.
See, I wasn't going to bring that part up.
Well, that's very Slaaneshi.
I was just going to leave it at that. I was just going to leave it right at that. Those leaks
are very Slaaneshi now, aren't they?
They're a little bit.
Also, those leaks were also proven to be a massive mistranslation. So,
oh, yeah, huge overstatement.
You know, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, that, yeah, I mean, I would love, I wish that Emperor's Children could have got more demon engines, but that is otherwise pretty much it for demon engines themselves. I don't got really any more to talk about on this one.
This is the part where I got to pick a favorite, isn't it?
Do you have one?
I don't know. Oh man, they're really cool. I think for a while there, I was thinking the Helldrake. It's really hard to beat the dragon meta on that. It's really, really top tier metal demon dragons. That's real tough to beat, you know?
Yeah,
it's just real tough to beat. I'm sure this is something where my mind will change every, like, month or two.
It's all right. I was going to say, yeah, I mean, you only have to think about the one you liked hearing about, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But I liked hearing about most of them is the problem. They're all cool. It's such a cool concept.
Maybe what are your two favorites? We'll start there.
Two favorites.
Top two.
All right. We'll do this. Okay.
Like I said, you can, like I did, you can bunch the, if you wish to, you can bunch the Mauler Fiend and the Forge Fiend as one.
I'm going to say Helldrake for now. Okay. I'm keeping Helldrake. The one you just showed me there, is the Typhlosion one. That's pretty high up for me because that's like such an immediately cool design from top to bottom. The Hellstalkers were really cool too. Is the thing. I think that's my bronze is the Hellstalkers. Mm. It was, I'm pretty sure that's the ones that are, they actually have somebody riding on top of them.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm getting the names mixed up.
No, you're right.
Yes. Yeah, Lord Discordant sits on the Hellstalkers.
Yes.
I guess it's kind of a combo pack with that
one. Yes, it is. It is exclusively a combo pack.
Yeah. Two for one deal.
But I very much agree. I mean, like I said, I would love to have in an army the Lord Discordant riding Hellstalker. It's just...
Yeah.
It's so peak. So peak Warhammer. Now, you said that was your bronze. Was your silver the Fiends or...
Silver is the... Yeah, it was the one that... It was the last one we talked about. I'm blanking on the name, but it was...
Oh, the last
one. Typhlosion.
I didn't really realize, yeah.
That is...
I didn't realize you meant the Subjugator was your silver medal.
Yeah, Subjugator is the silver. Haldrake's gold right now.
That's funny. I don't know many people that would look at some of those epic scale ones and be like, hell yeah, that's the shit I want.
It is. You got to think about me, though, and the audience won't understand this, but like you've known me for several years at this point where I have these like particular flavors of weird where I look at it and I go, that's so weird. I love it. And like it's an unironic appreciation. And like I said before, this is so there's so much about this that is so different from like a lot of other things that you've shown me within the Warhammer universe. It genuinely looks alien compared to a lot of other things. And you've shown me like multiple Xenos races. but there's something about this that is like, wow, that feels out of place in a way that makes it like really cool and interesting. You know what it also looks like? The front of this thing looks like Zant's helmet from Twilight Princess. It gives it's got a little bit of the like Twilight energy to it that is like really cool and interesting because you see that guy for the first time when you're playing that game and you're like, who is this guy? Like he doesn't fit with the rest of the world. You're like, what is this? And I get that from this guy too. I'm all about it.
Absolutely. Well, that'll otherwise I think do it for this episode. I don't know, where are you at on Fulgrim?
Almost done. I'm thinking there's a good chance I'm gonna have it done by the end of next week here.
All right. Compile some of your notes. I don't think we'll do it this next recording. I don't think it'll be this next episode. But the one after that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll for sure be ready.
Yeah, it's the one that I'll end up getting released. Let's see, about just before Adepticon, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it'll be like 2 weeks before Adepticon, but that's fine. So I think this will be that'll be the episode then that'll release on the 14th. No, it'll be the 21st. So it would be just before Adepticon. And that's good because that makes it then perfect before whatever they announce at Adepticon and potentially when these Emperor's Children boxes will actually then release because they've been pre-ordered. At the time of recording, the pre-orders just happened, came and went. Boxes sold in seconds. And, you know, scalpers rejoice. Actually, I don't even think that's the problem. I think it's just forced scarcity. GW pulling the classic Nintendo strategy.
Yeah.
But either way, they'll likely be out around then. You know, and then we can get right into all about Fulgrim, his Emperor's Children, and what they were, and thus what they became. I don't think the book is actually out yet, though, so We won't know the new lore until later, so this likely will have a follow-up episode, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to come back to it.
All right, but until then, next week, we're going to do... We'll go back to kind of something hobby-related. Then we'll get to Fulgrim.
All right.
Sounds good. All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye, goodbye.